Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast family, welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in.
Never let you down, and you can talk to him anytime.
Good evening, podcast family. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast with Messenger, the Messenger Edition, with co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And this is Nurse Carmen. And again, thank you for tuning in. Next, we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you, and I do apologize once again. I don't know what it is, but something always want to act up when it's time to do the show. But I hope I'm coming in loud and clear now.
Yes, yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we're going to begin right now. In this moment, your soul has again created opportunities for you to be, do, and have what it takes to know who you really are. Your soul brought you to this podcast you are hearing right now, as it has brought you to words of wisdom and truth. What will you do now? What will you choose to be? Your soul awaits and watches with interest, as it has many times before. Well, God is not concerned about your worldly success. Only you are. It is true that when you achieve certain states of being over a long period of time, success in what you are doing is very difficult to avoid. Yet you are not to worry about making a living. True masters are those who have chosen to make a life rather than a living. From certain states of being will spring a life so rich, so full, so magnificent, and so rewarding that worldly goods and worldly success will be of no concern to you. Life's irony is that as soon as worldly goods and worldly success are of no concern to you, the way is open for them to flow to you. Remember, you cannot have what you want, but you may experience whatever you have. Then you say, I cannot have what I want. No. Well, I've been saying very early in most of my podcasts that whatever I want, as you think, as you believe, so shall it be done unto you, and all that. Well, the two statements are not inconsistent with each other. That's because, I will explain, you cannot have anything you want. The very act of wanting something pushes it away from you, as I've said in so many of the podcasts. Word is creative. Action is creative. Thoughts, words, and deeds are the three levels of creation. Now, let's take worldly success as our subject for the moment, since that's what we've been talking about, okay? Now, do you have a thought, I want worldly success? And do you also sometimes have the thought, I want more money? You, therefore, neither have worldly success nor money. You say, why not? Because the universe has no choice but to bring you the direct manifestation of your thoughts about it. Your thought is, I want worldly success. You understand the creative power is like a genie in a bottle. Your words are its command. I say, your words are its command. Now, your words were, I want success. And the universe says, okay, you do. Think of it this way. The word I is the key that starts the engine of creation. The words I am are extremely powerful to the universe, commands. Now, whatever follows the word I, which calls forth the great I am, tends to manifest in physical reality. Therefore, I plus want success produces you wanting success. I plus want money must produce you wanting money. It can produce no other thing because thoughts, words are creative. Actions are too. And if you act in a way which says that you want success and money, then your thoughts, words, and actions are in accord. And you are sure to have the experience of this wantingness. You see? Now, of course, you are a very powerful creator. Now, granted, if you had a thought or made a statement just once in anger, for instance, or frustration, it's not very likely that you'll convert those thoughts or words into reality. So you don't have to worry about drop dead or go to hell or all the other less than nice things you sometimes think or say. But if you repeat a thought or say a word over and over again, not once, not twice, but dozens, hundreds, thousands of times, do you have any idea of the creative power of that? A thought or a word express becomes just that, expressed. That is, pushed out. It becomes outwardly realized. It becomes your physical reality. Now, that's exactly what it produces very often, good grief. You love the grief. You love the drama. That is, until you don't anymore. There comes a certain point in your evolution when you cease to love the drama, cease to love the story as you've been living it. That's when you decide, actively choose to change it. Only most don't know how. You now do. To change your reality, stop thinking like that. In this case, instead of thinking, I want success, think I have success. Now, you might say, well, this feels like a lie to me. I'd be kidding myself if I said that. My mind would shout, the hell, you say. Then think of a thought you can accept. My success is coming to me now, or all things lead to my success. Affirmations do not work if they are merely statements of what you want to be true. Affirmations work only when they are statements of something you already know to be true. The best so-called affirmation is a statement of gratitude and appreciation. Thank you, God, for bringing me success in my life. Now, that idea, thought, spoken, and acted upon produces wonderful results when it comes from true knowing, not from an attempt to produce results, but from an awareness that results have already been produced. Jesus had such clarity. Before every miracle, he thanked God in advance for its deliverance. It never occurred to him not to be grateful, because it never occurred to him that what he declared would not happen. The thought never entered his mind. So sure was he of who he was and of his relationship to God that his very thought, word, and deed reflected his awareness, just as your thoughts, words, and deeds reflect yours. If now there is something you choose to experience in your life, do not want it, choose it. Do you choose success in worldly terms? Do you choose more money? Good. Then choose it, really, fully, not half-heartedly. Yet, at your stage of development, do not be surprised if worldly success no longer concerns you. Because there will come a time in the evolution of your soul when the chief concern is no longer the survival of the physical body, but the growth of the spirit. No longer the attainment of worldly success, but the realization of self. In a sense, this is a very dangerous time, particularly at the outset, because the entity housed in the body now knows it is just that, a being in a body, not a body being. Now, at this stage, before the growing entity matures into this point of view, there is often a sense of no longer caring about affairs of the body in any way. The soul is so excited about being discovered at last, the mind abandons the body and all matters of the body. Everything is ignored. Relationships are set aside. Families are disappeared. Jobs are made secondary. Bills go unpaid. The body itself is not even fed for long periods. The entire focus and attention of the entity are now on the soul and the matters of the soul. This can lead to a major personal crisis in the day-to-day life of the being, although the mind perceives no trauma. It has changed out in bliss. I'm sorry, it is hanging out in bliss. Other people say you have lost your mind, and in a sense, you may have. Discovery of the truth that life has nothing to do with the body can create an imbalance the other way, whereas at first the entity acted as if the body were all there is. Now it acts as if the body doesn't matter at all. This, of course, is not true, as the entity soon and sometimes painfully remembers. You are a tripart being made of body, mind, and spirit. You will always be a tripart being, not just while you are living on the earth. There are those who hypnotize that upon, there are those who hypothesize that upon death, the body and the mind are dropped. The body and the mind are not dropped. The body changes form, leaving its most dense parts behind, but retaining always its outer shell. The mind, not to be confused with the brain, goes with you, joining with the spirits and the body as the one energy masses of three dimensions or facets. Should you choose to return to this experiencing opportunity that you call life on earth, your divine self will once again separate its true dimensions into what you call body, mind, and spirit. In truth, you are all one energy, yet with three distinct characteristics. As you undertake to inhabit a new physical body here on earth, your ethereal body, as some of you have termed it, lowers its vibration, slows itself from a vibration so rapid that it cannot even be seen, to a speed that produces mass and matter. This actual matter is the creation of pure thought, the work of your mind, the higher mind aspect of your three-part being. This matter is a conglomeration of a million, billion, trillion different energy units into one enormous mass controlled by the mind. You really are a mastermind. As these tiny energy units have expanded their energy, they are discarded by the body while the mind creates new ones. This is the mind creates out of its continued thoughts about who you are. The ethereal body catches the thoughts, so to speak, and lowers the vibration of more energy units, in a sense crystallizing them, and they become matter, the new matter of you. In this way, every cell of your body changes every several years. You are quite literally not the same person you were a few years ago. If you think thoughts of illness or disease or continuous anger, hatred, and negativity, your body will translate these thoughts into physical form. People will see this negativity, sick form, and they will say, "What's the matter?" They will not know how accurate their question is. The soul watches this whole drama play out year after year, month after month, day after day, moment after moment, and always holds the truth about you. It never forgets the blueprint, the original plan, the first idea, the creative thought. Its job is to remind you, that is to literally remind you, so that you may remember once again who you are and then choose who you now wish to be. In this way, the cycle of creation and experience, imagining and fulfilling, knowing and growing into the unknown, continuous both now and even forevermore. There is so much more to explain, so much more, but never ever in just one podcast, you know, probably even in one lifetime. Yet you have begun, and that is good. Just remember this. It is as your grand teacher William Shakespeare said, "There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy." All right, then you say, "May I ask some questions about this?" Like when you say the mind goes after me after death, does that mean my personality goes with me? Will I know in the afterlife who I am? Yes, and who you have been. It will all be open unto you, because then it will profit you to know. Now, in this moment, it will not. Okay, and with regards to this life, will there be an accounting, a review, a tally taken? There is no judgment in what you call the afterlife. You will not even be allowed to judge yourself, for you would surely give yourself a low score given how judgmental and unforgiving you are with yourself in this life. No, there is no accounting, no one giving thumbs up or thumbs down. Only humans are judgmental, and because you are, you assume that God must be. Yet God is not, and that is a great truth you cannot accept. Nonetheless, while there will be no judgment in the afterlife, there will be opportunities to look again at all you have thought and said and done, and to decide if that is what you would choose again, based on who you say you are and who you want to be. Now, there is an Eastern mythical teaching surrounding a doctrine called Kamaloka. According to this teaching, at the time of our death, each person is given the opportunity to relive every thought ever entertained, every word ever spoken, every action ever taken, not from our standpoint, but from the standpoint of every other person affected. In other words, we've already experienced what we felt thinking, saying, and doing what we did. Now we're given the experience of feeling what the other person felt in each of these moments. And it is by this measure that we'll decide whether we think, say, or do those things again. What occurs in your life after this is far too extraordinary to describe here in terms you would comprehend, because the experience is other dimension and literally defies description using tools severely limited as words. It is enough to say that you will have the opportunity to review them again, your present life, without pain, fear, or judgment, for the purpose of deciding how you feel about your experience here and where you want to go from there. Many of you have decided to come back here, to return to this world of density and relativity for another chance to experience out the decision and choices you made about yourself at this level. Others, a select few will return with a different mission. You will return to density and matter for the sole purpose of bringing others out of density and matter. Always there are on the earth those among us who have made such a choice. You can tell them apart. Their work is finished. They have returned to earth simply and merely to help others. This is their joy. This is their exaltation. They seek not but to be of service. You cannot miss these people. They are everywhere. There are more of them than you think. Chances are you know of one. Now, you might be saying, am I one? If you have to ask, you know you're not one. One such as this asks questions of no one. There is nothing to ask. In this lifetime, you are a messenger, a harbinger, a bringer of news, a seeker, and frequently a speaker of truth. That is enough for one lifetime. Be happy. Then you say, oh, I am, but I can always hope for more. Yes, and you will. Always you will hope for more. It is in your nature. It is divine nature to seek always to be more. So seek, yes, by all means seek. Now, I want to answer definitively the question with which we started the conversation with. Go ahead. Do what you really love to do. Do nothing else. You have so little time. How can you think of wasting a moment doing something for a living you don't like to do? What kind of a living is that? That is not living. That is dying. If you say, but I have others who depend on me, little mouths to feed, a spouse who is looking to me, then I will say, if you insist that your life is about what your body is doing, you do not understand why you are here. At least do something that pleases you, that speaks of who you are. Then at least you can stay out of resentment and anger towards those you imagine are keeping you from your joy. Your body is not to be discounted. It is important, but not in the way that you think. The actions of the body were meant to be reflections of a state of being, not attempt to attain a state of being. In the true order of things, one thing does not do something in order to be happy. One is happy and hence does something. Now, I'm going to repeat that because that's important for us. In the true order of things, one does not do something in order to be happy. One is happy and hence does something. One does not do some things in order to be compassionate. One is compassionate and hence acts in a certain way. The soul's decision precedes the body's action in a highly conscious person. Only an unconscious person attempts to produce a state of the soul through something the body is doing. That is what is meant by the statement, your life is not about what your body is doing, yet it is true that what your body is doing is a reflection of what your life is about. It is another divine dichotomy. Yet, know this if you understand nothing else. You have a right to your joy. Children or no children, spouse or no spouse, seek it, find it, and you will have a joyful family, no matter how much money you make or don't make. And if they aren't joyful and they get up and leave you, then release them with love to their joy. On the other hand, you have evolved to the point where things of the body are not of concern to you, then you are even more free to seek your joy on earth as it is in heaven. God says it's okay to be happy. Yes, even happy in your work. Your life is a statement of who you are. It is not then why you are doing it. Do you imagine that you have to? You don't have to do anything. If man who supports his family at all costs, even his happiness, is who you are, then love your work, because it is facilitating your creation of a living statement of self. If woman who works at a job she hates in order to meet responsibilities as she sees them is who you are, then love, love, love your job, for it totally supports your self-image, your self-concept. Everyone can love everything the moment they understand what they are doing and why. No one does anything he doesn't want to do. No one does anything he doesn't want to do. Now, I just want to move along a little bit here. And it's and how can I solve some of the health problems I face? I have been the victim of enough chronic problems to last lifetimes. Why am I then having all of them now in this lifetime? These are the questions people want to know. First, let's get one thing straight. You love them. Most of them anyway. You use them admirably to feel sorry for yourself and to get attention for yourself. On the few occasions when you haven't loved them, it's only because they've gone too far, farther than you thought they ever would when you created them. Now, let's understand what you probably already know. All illnesses is self-created. Even conventional medical doctors are now seeing how people make themselves sick. Most people do so quite unconsciously. They don't even know what they're doing. So when they get sick, they don't know what hit them. It feels as though something has befallen them, rather than that they did something to themselves. This occurs because most people move through life, not simply health issues and consequences, unconsciously. People smoke and wonder why they get cancer. People ingest animals and fat and wonder why they get blood arteries. People stay angry all their lives and wonder why they get heart attacks. People compete with other people mercifully and under incredible stress and wonder why they have strokes. The not so obvious truth is that most people worry themselves to death. Now I gotta say this one more time. And as they say, he that has ears, let him hear. The not so obvious truth is that most people worry themselves to death. Worry is just about the worst form of mental activity there is. Next to hate, worry is pointless. It is wasted mental energy. It also creates biochemical reactions which harm the body, producing everything from indigestion to coronary arrest, and a multitude of things in between. Health will improve almost at once when worrying ends. Worrying is the activity of a mind which does not understand it is connected with God. Hatred is the most severely damaged mental condition. It poisons the body, and it affects all virtual and its effects are virtually irreversible. Fear is the object of everything you are. Fear is the opposite of everything you are, and so has an effect of opposition to your mental and physical health. Fear is worry magnified. Worry, hate, fear, together with these offshoots, anxiety, bitterness, impatience, unkindness, judgmentalness, condemnation, all attack the body at the circular level. It is impossible to have a healthy body under these conditions. Similarly, although to a somewhat lesser degree, conceit, self-indulgence, and greed leads to a physical illness of lack of well-being. Illnesses is created in the mind first. All illnesses are created in the mind first. Now, I'm going to leave that for you to just think upon, and I hope that the recording came out much better tonight. I pray that something was said that will lead you to go within. Because as I said, if you don't go within, you will go without. But I thank you all for tuning in today, and I pray that you will continue to seek true wisdom. I know we've been told a lot of things over the years, but if you want to know the real truth, have a talk with God.
Amen.
Don't have a talk with anybody else, but you have that talk with God, and He will answer you. And when He answers, all you have to do, because He's talking to you all the time, just be still and listen. I thank you all very much. You take care. Have a blessed week, and I look forward to talking to you all again Sunday night. I love you all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have yourself a blessed week.
You're welcome.
And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell. And I know you favored me because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive.